So the final message will to what I could understand that I can have even on my own.
I was in Yerushalayim last night to hear Lichtenstein speak about tshuva, and I think his central theme is one of great importance. I'm just going to mention a couple of things that he said. One of the things he pointed out is that the word v'hitvadu, in that form, that you will confess, appears twice in Chumash, and Lichtenstein suggested that it sets up two different models from where the tshuva and vidui come. One place it comes is at the end of Vayikra, in the Tochacha. So in Vayikra, we get this whole list of bad things that will happen to the Jewish people as a result of their sins, and they'll get punishments and drought and exile. And towards the end, in Vayikra Chavav, it says, "Vitvadu et avonam v'tavon avotam v'malam Hashem alubi v'af asher alchu mivakeria." As a result of all this terrible thing, then, "Vitvadu et avonam." There'll be a confession of their sins and the sins of their fathers. That's in Vayikra Chavav. The other place is a much more, much less dramatic situation in Bamidbar Hay. Midbar Hay, we have someone who steals and lies about it, and we're told there, "Vitvadu et chatatam asher asu." Now, without denying the significant sin of stealing and lying about it, clearly this is not a new context which is born of the same kind of anxious crisis of being driven into exile and divine displeasure. And Rabbi Lichtenstein said, here we have two models of tshuva. One model of tshuva is where someone has something that shakes them up completely, right? There's punishment, there's suffering, there's a major change, all about dynamism, and there's a need for tshuva. And the other model is one in the course of one's daily existence. It's a natural and healthy religious act to engage in introspection. And Rav Lichtenstein said that it's not just true in Chumash, we have the same two models appearing in a lot of places. For example, in the Gemara, he said there's a phrase, yifashvesh b'masav, to investigate your actions. If you look at where that phrase appears, we'll also discover it appears twice. One is a well-known Gemara in Brachot on Daf Hei, where the Gemara says, "Imro adam she yisurin ban alav." If a person sees that afflictions are coming upon him, so the first thing you should do is yifashvesh b'masav, right? Investigate your actions. So there again, there's a tshuva that is born in crisis, right? You're suffering, someone's not well, God forbid, and there's a turn to tshuva. The other place yifashvesh b'masav appears is a very interesting Gemara in Erevin. I actually alluded to it in Rosh Hashanah. There's one Avon on Gimel Medbet where Beit Shammai Beit Hillel debate whether it was pleasant for man to have been created or not. Noach l'adam shenivra or lo noach lo l'adam shenivra. One of the things Rav Lichtenstein likes to say in this context, which he said again last night, was that the Gemara does not have a debate whether tov lo l'adam shenivra. Right? That's apparently not debated whether it was good. It was good, but is it pleasant is a separate question. But the Gemara then concludes, noach lo l'adam shelo nivra. Well, maybe it was more pleasant not to have been created. But v'achshav shenivra, now you've been created, yifashvesh b'masav. So investigate your actions. And there again, he wanted to say, there's not necessarily a crisis there. That's just regular existence. Regular existence isn't so easy, it has its difficulties, but the most reasonable thing to do is introspection. Yifashvesh b'masav. One last example of this split might be Yom Kippur. Where does Yom Kippur come from? So Yom Kippur could have two sources in theory. One is a historical source, that what event happened in Yom Kippur, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with a second set of luchot, meaning the Jews are being forgiven on some level for Chayta Egel, right? So that's certainly a tshuva born of crisis, right? Right after leaving Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, the Jews engage in an act of betrayal on a communal level of significant impact. So this is something that calls for tshuva. At the same time, as Lichtenstein argued, if there would be no Chayta Egel, we'd also need Yom Kippur. Right, even without some individual crisis, we would need simply to do tshuva because this is what is the reasonable thing to do. Now, I think that this kind of split between the sense of crisis and the sense of stability is something that we need to maintain throughout all our Jewish life in general. Like just now, I was talking about it, and Rav Lichtenstein was speaking about it in terms of tshuva, but I think this is true about broader religious life. On the one hand, I don't think it's reasonable to live every life as every second as a dynamic crisis. There's a certain energy that emerges from crisis, but there's something very unhealthy about constantly feeling like anxious, constantly feeling one has to renew everything. Right? Ultimately, a person has to feel rooted. Right? A person has to make certain significant choices in life. and feel rooted in those choices, right? So the constant crisis is a problem. At the same time, there's a clear sense that if one avoids crisis by becoming complacent, there's also something that's gone off. And life can't always just be about, yeah, things are good, I'm happy the way I am, everything's fine, no real need for any dramatic shifts in my existence, everything's okay as I am. And certainly there's a sense there where we need to think about sometimes more radical changes of our behavior. Certainly as Yom Kippur is approaching, I think this dual model is something to think about. Right? And when we think of Yom Kippur, we'll remember what we're rooted in, right? What we really care about, our stable set of Jewish values. At the same time, the sense of dynamism, the sense that the occasional shaking up and renewing and finding ways to change in a dramatic fashion, that also has its place in the act of tshuva. Have a good evening.